This is VK6 ARN. News West is a WA-based club, and we continue to deliver news content to sandgropers and beyond since 1931. Good afternoon, evening, noon, and welcome to News West for Sunday, the 8th of March, 2026.
G'day from WARG. Yesterday, we had our first WARG activity day at Bayswater Sea Scouts, down the end of Milne Street, just on the Derbal Yerrigan, east of Garrett Road Bridge. Yeah, Swan River. Anyway, we looked at the Wison 2-metre repeater and did other things. WARG is planning to have monthly activity days. More information shall be flowing, hopefully soon, on all the usual points of contact. WARG at WARG, the WARG Facebook page, WA Hams and the VK6.net Facebook group. Looking forward, the next meeting of WARG will be the second Monday of the month because of the public holiday on the first Monday last week. So, yep, you've guessed it, it's tomorrow night. Doors open 7pm for a 7:30pm start at the First Pelican Point Sea Scout Hall, number 12, Australia 2 Drive in Crawley. Just in behind Matilda Bay and the Yacht Club. Tea and coffee and refreshments are available and plenty of time both before and after the meeting to have an audio frequency contact with your favourite hams. The next instalment of the WARG Technical and General Net will take place at 10:30 this morning after this news and the callbacks, but on VK6RLM 146.750 and the linked All-Star Hubs. And as usual, if you're listening to this in the evening, it's next week.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Last week we looked at how a simulcast system with multi-sites on a single frequency pair work from a base transmission perspective. Key principle was how we align all transmitters such that any station receiving that signal will receive any signals at a similar signal level in phase, hence negating interference at the receiver. One thing we didn't touch on was the difference between analog and digital modes of transmission. If we use analog FM for transmission, we can only rely on the accuracy of transmission and tailoring of coverage to negate interference. Most digital protocols also have mechanisms to combat bit error rate caused loss, and bit error rate is the first symptom of a less than simulcast reception. This means that most digital modes of transmission will produce a more robust network than any analog system. Now that P25 networks in Australia have been used in public safety for a few decades, we're starting to see older generation P25 repeaters on the market at reasonable prices, and mobile radios as well. And I know there are a couple of repeaters or beacons in Perth capable of using P25 already. This would need to be weighed against the fact that almost every ham in Perth has an analogue radio capable of being used in a 70cm band. It may be that it's worth putting up with a slightly less robust network in exchange for a greater percentage of the community having access to it. Next issue in a network like this is that it's not just the transmitters that need to be in sync. The audio being rebroadcast from every site must also be presented to the network in sync. This means that the backhaul network used to bring audio paths together needs to be highly reliable and with latencies in the order of 20 microseconds or so. This pretty much precludes the use of the internet as a reliable medium. The strength of the internet is that it's a large mesh network, but this also means that the latency is highly variable due to the path being taken also being variable. The fact that we're exploring a network that is made up of lots of small coverage microcells also means that using dedicated links between sites is also quite feasible. We could also look at possibly using other networks around, such as or similar to Freenet. Not sure if that's still a thing, but I'm sure you get my drift. A simple Wi-Fi point-to-point or mesh network would work well for this application, providing the links are planned well and it isn't riding on the cusp of its coverage, which will also generate latency. Now, what about the receive end of the network? We need a means of picking only the best received signal and then presenting that to all base stations for retransmission. Two ways of doing this. We could use a central voting arbitrator. This would only work for an analog network and also needs to be as quick as the latency to be useful. This also means that we need to get that audio back to a central point, which could also be problematic. The other way of managing this is to use a digital backhaul with distributed voting, i.e. with no central voter. Each site can then send an RSSI measurement with each packet, and all sites can choose the packet with the highest RSSI and only retransmit those packets. The downside to this is that with no standard for this style of backhaul, we either need to settle on a single brand of repeater, or as a community we develop our own protocol loaded into a box that each repeater uses. We could also potentially use a combination of both, with the network starting with a common repeater, while a separate box is designed in the background and the network being able to migrate to a more open protocol at a later stage. There are plenty of examples of hams working together to produce a new mode of communication protocol as a collaborative effort, like FT8, for instance. And to be honest, I think Perth could use a project like this to bring the community closer together. So what brands could we use to look at to start a project like this? First one that comes to mind for me is Motorola. I suspect there are a few hams in the community who might see the first generation of Motorola P25 repeaters being shipped off to the dump with a hammer embedded in them. I think there have been quite a few radio network refresh projects within the public safety space over the past 5 to 10 years. The network that sparked my interest in this about 10 years ago was built in exactly this way. Another option is the RF technology Eclipse 2, which are in use already in a couple of repeaters in Perth, and at least one government department is using them, and I've already seen and purchased a few at auction here in Perth. These actually are very well suited to the application as they can be connected in a completely distributed form factor out of the box and have designed and or installed a few commercial networks using this model. I think our own local brand of transceiver from Spectra Engineering could also do a similar task. Maybe rather than looking for old stuff, we approach a manufacturer and negotiate a price for a common model of radio that just does the job to fund it. Look at crowdfunding options, or clubs could look at grant options from places like Lotto and the big property developers and the like. Crowdfunding means that a commuter might drop in a few dollars into potential sites along the route to work. You get 50 people doing the same thing and you can build a repeater. So, interesting concept. Why not bring it up at your next club meeting for discussion? Get your club management to start engaging with other clubs. See if you can design a small network within your club membership and start experimenting with the concept. Start with just getting two transmitters in sync and move forward from there. The fun is actually as much in the journey as it is in the use of the end product. Well, thanks for listening again. This has been Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
Good morning, campers. This is a quick reminder that the Southern Electronics Group, Mike Beale, Mayen Up, Ham Campton, is on again in May. The weekend of May 15th to 17th will again host the event at the Mayen Up Sports Ground, which is located just south of Boyup Brook. Camping and setting up your portable station on a registered POTA site with terrific amenities, a warm fire pit, tall trees, and plenty of time for great conversations about radio, the weather, and that thing that screeches just after midnight. Camping will be the same $10 per person per night, and the gates open on Friday the 15th around lunchtime for plenty of time to set up. We have a Mayen Up Ham Campton Facebook group that stumbles out of a hibernation at this time to share some up-to-date information on the camp. Alternatively, email me at vk6ek@katt.au. We hope to see you at Mayen Up in May. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
A new grouping to talk about. It's a coffee crew. Hams from around the Southeast Corridor, but really, anyone is welcome and is encouraged to join in. When? Every Tuesday from 10:30 at the Timber Cafe in the grounds of Carey Baptist College, which is located at number 51 Wright Road in Harrisdale. That's Wright with a W. Not far from the Big Green Warehouse on Ranford Road. Good coffee, great company, and not bad food as well. Hams seem to eat a lot of their scrambled eggs. Occasionally burgers or cake too. Once again, this crew meet weekly at Timber Cafe, for Tall Tales and True, Ham Style. Anyone is welcome to join in, call signed or shortwave listener.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6 CSW. Due to an oversight, the March RAOTC promo didn't go to air last week, but please be aware of the following. The monthly luncheon meeting. The RAOTC March lunchtime meeting at the historic 7 Mile Bar and Bistro, Balcatta, is on Tuesday, March the 10th, starting at 11:30. Full details are on the club website at www.raotc.org.au. Non-members are welcome to join in, but if you are planning to attend, be sure to contact lunch coordinator Alastair, VK6ATX, as soon as possible. Alastair's email is vk6kif@bigpond.com. Just repeating that, Alastair's email address is his old call sign, VK6KiloIndiaFoxtrot@bigpond.com. So once again, the March RAOTC luncheon is on this Tuesday, March the 10th. 7-3 from Clive, VK6CSW.
Well, there's 2 weeks to go until a John Moyle Memorial Field Day contest. Are you planning to give it a go? Although it's a 24-hour contest, you're free to do all of it or part of it. A block of so many hours or several blocks of a duration of your choice. The thing is to have a go. If you're new to contests, see if you can join in with a club effort. And speaking of club efforts, let's hear from clubs. What are your plans for the John Moyle? If you can't join in with a club or another amateur, don't despair. If you spend a little bit of time listening to how other amateurs work contests, you can jump right in. Hopefully everyone is aware that the VK contest logger is now unsuitable for this contest due to rule changes. The recommended logger is N1MM, that's November 1 Mike Mike, which is free to download. There are some instructions on setting up N1MM located at the bottom of the John Moyle contest page at the Wireless Institute website, wia.org.au, and look for contests under the Members tab. There's one more weekend left to nag you about the John Moyle, which is on the weekend of the 21st and 22nd of March. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Da, 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 da. Transmitting on the 146 megahertz band, this is VK6 Amateur Radio News.
You're listening to News West. A word from Wyson. The next meeting of Wyson will be held on the third Monday of this month. Due to the public holiday we had for the first Monday, bumping the meeting of WAG to the second Monday and thus Wyson for the VK6 call area to Monday the 16th. It will not be held at the normal Midland venue due to a district leaders meeting. We have, however, been able to find a new temporary location, that of the First Beechborough Scout Hall, located on the right-hand side of Lord Street, around about 300-odd metres north of the roundabout at Lord and Banara in Beechborough. Doors will open 7pm-ish for a 7:30pm start. We'd love to see you there. We'll also have the Jitsi up and running. Please get in contact with Wyson for the link. You can do that by the Contact Us page on the website at wysonwa.org. We'll be talking about the 2026 Memory Walk and Jog and the Wyson participation in John Moyle in the following days of the rest of this month of March, amongst other things, including some things that have come up on the recent Wednesday night nets. So, a quick reminder, Wyson stands for the Wireless Institute Civil Emergencies Network. We've been around since the 1950s, and while No Weissen is part of the WIA today, we are, like many clubs, an affiliated entity. Weissen, in its broadest form, is a network of amateurs who prepare their knowledge and equipment for working under off-grid ECOMS conditions, for if and when the need arises. In VK6 we have been many things over the years. Today we are best described as a group of hams getting out and doing amateur radio with an emphasis on preparing ourselves for service should the need arise. We hope it doesn't, but we plan to be prepared rather than to try to work it out at the pointy end. Practice may not make perfect, but it sure can't hurt. There are many stories through time and right around the world where hams have used our radios to relay information and to get help to people in need. If being prepared sounds good to you, we welcome your interest and occasional participation in Weissen training and events. We try to get out to do something every couple of months. Our last event was a fox hunt. We've done Jota. We provide our expertise for Dementia Australia as a service for their awareness and fundraising annual walk and jog. Weissen has a weekly net running on Wednesday nights from 20 Hours Hotel. That's 8 p.m. local Perth time. We run it on both 80 metres, 3.600 plus or minus QRM, and on All Star, the VK6 hub network. From Northam and in Perth on VK6 RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. Feel free to check in and say hi. 73's from Weissen WA, VK6, Whiskey India Echo.
RASA, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, provides several resources free of charge to amateurs. QTC, the Society's monthly magazine, is due to be published any day now, if not already. QTC is an electronic magazine which can be read on screen or downloaded as a PDF. What's different about electronic magazines is that they contain live or hot links, so when you read an article you can click on the link and there's the video, further information and so forth. You'll also notice that the table of contents is live. Click on an entry and you jump to the correct page to read the item. QTC is produced in Australia entirely by volunteers, which is how it can be provided free of charge. No dead trees, no paper, printing or postage costs. RASA supports newcomers to the hobby with two free publications. Firstly, the Foundation Level Study Guide, which gives you all of the information you'll need to pass the Foundation Level exam. The Study Guide is available as an electronic magazine and as a PDF download. More than 600 people have accessed the Foundation Level Study Guide since version 3.1 was published in late November 2025. The other free publication is the Welcome to Amateur Radio Guidebook, which answers the questions that a newcomer to the hobby will ask. Both publications are available from the RASA website, which is vkradioamateurs.org. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Covering Western Australia and beyond, this is News West, brought to you by WA Amateur Radio News, on air, online and on demand. This is VK6 ARN, and I'm Mark, VK4 MHQ.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Just under a year ago, I started an experiment. I set up a beacon for Whisper, or Weak Signal Propagation Reporter, transmitting at 200 milliwatts into a dummy load, using 8 bands between 80 metres and 10 metres. I also set up an RTL-SDR dongle connected to an external 20-metre HF antenna and made it monitor 18 amateur bands between 630 metres and 23 centimetres. I left this running 24/7 for most of the year, though there were times when I detached the antenna due to local thunderstorms, and there was a 7-week period where there were no reports. It's highly likely that I forgot to reconnect the antenna, but I don't recall. For this analysis, I used the online whispernet.org database, where I uploaded my spots as they were decoded. I noticed that there are reports that I have locally that are not in the database, though I'm not sure why. They're incomplete and not in the same format, and merging these is non-trivial for reasons I'll discuss. Lesson learnt. The RTL-SDR WhisperD tool needs to be patched to output the data in the same format as is available from the online database, and I need to actively log locally. The results are puzzling, at least to me right now. Let's start with the low-hanging fruit. There are no reports of my Whisper Beacon being received by anyone other than me. That doesn't guarantee that nobody heard me, just that nobody reported that they did. In the database, there's just over 6,000 reports of my station receiving a Whisper transmission from my beacon during the past year. The reports cover all bands, though not equally. The 80-meter band represents 6% of reports, where 40 meters accounts for 20%. The reported SNR, or signal-to-noise ratio, varies significantly across the data. For example, the 12-meter band shows a range of 42 dB. Digging into this does not reveal any patterns related to date, time of day, season, other band reports, or any other metric I was able to imagine. In my exploration, missing records and time zone differences aside, I discovered that the local data does not appear to match the database. For example, I have records where the software decoded my beacon 10 times in the same time slot, but none of them exist in the database. For others, there's only one matching record, which leads me to believe that the whispernet.org database only accepts the first report for any given combination of timestamp, transmitter, and receiver, but I have yet to confirm that. So let's talk about getting more than one result for a specific time slot. As you might know, a whisper signal is transmitted every 120 seconds, starting at the even minute. Each transmission lasts 110.6 seconds. The decoder will make several attempts to decode multiple, potentially overlapping signals. It is my understanding that the way this happens is by essentially removing a known decoded signal and then attempting to decode what's left, repeating until either there's no more signals to decode or time runs out, since there's probably only really 9.4 seconds in which to do this. Potentially, this means that a faster computer will decode more signals, but I've not actually tested that, but it's probably something worth pursuing. Back to our decodes. If the first decode is removed from the received data and the next decode gives you similar information, same call sign and Maidenhead locator with SNR and frequency differences, then you might imagine that there's so much of it there that the only way that might happen is because the receiver is overloaded. I'm still looking into this because if that's the case, then we'd need to determine if the receiver was always overloaded or only sometimes. It's curious since there's over 1,000 other signals being received from other stations, several over 18,000 kilometres away, so it's not like the receiver is completely swamped. Another hypothesis is that the decode is coming from a different band, like a harmonic. This is potentially caused because from a band and timing perspective, the receiver isn't linked to the transmitter in any way. The transmitter hammers away 24/7 one band after the next, switching every 2 minutes. The receiver listens for half an hour on a band, then randomly picks the next until it runs out of bands and starts again. The receiver is listening on more than twice as many bands as the transmitter operates on, but that doesn't mean that it cannot hear the transmitter on a harmonic of one of the bands. Again, I don't know if this is the case or if something else is happening. One thing I'd expect is to see reports on other harmonics outside the bands that the transmitter is using, but I'm not seeing that. Perhaps the overload is limited to just the band we're actively monitoring, and the other signals are coming in regardless of the overload. I'm still trying to determine if that's the case. As I said, merging the data from the two sources is non-trivial. Time zones and formatting are not the same, and I'm not in the mood for manually fixing 2,500 or so records, not to mention attempting to determine which SNR is real for the multi-decodes. So, what did I learn? For starters, the world didn't come to a sudden and laborious stop when I transmitted into a dummy load. The experiment was interesting and worth doing. I should test using shorter runs until I've determined the mechanisms involved. For example, one amateur suggested that I might be decoding information that's coming in via the coax, rather than from an antenna. That said, doing so would also require significantly more effort to incrementally analyze this data, so I'd have to find ways to improve my workflow. The SNR is all over the place, not something that I expected. All bands are represented in the data. There does not seem to be any relationship between date, time, other stations, and the signal strength seen from the local transmission. I need better record keeping. No doubt there's more. If you have questions, feel free to comment. The experiment also leaves plenty of questions. Why do the SNR values vary so much? I can't imagine that the variation relates to propagation, since we'd have reports from other receivers. So, is it something else? Even though we're talking about equipment that's indoors, are we observing variations in electronics temperatures, for example? Alternatively, if the measurements represent overload of the receiver, why don't we see other harmonics, and how is it possible that we can receive and decode very weak signals from other stations? If the signal is arriving via an unexpected path, like the coax, rather than the antenna, what could we do to stop that from occurring? And what effects does it have on our current dataset? And could we account for those effects? I suppose leaving the ultimate question for last, is the data that I've collected over the past year useful, beyond potentially, this is not how you do this, or is it essentially meaningless? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK 6 X-ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 8th of March 2026. I may sound a bit different this morning. My microphone preamp has given up. I let the smoke out, which is very silly of me. I can't get it back in again. So today we have very little for you again. No items to report this week. It's not very good. If you have any items for next week, please give me a call so I can exercise more smoke. Thank you. And the email address for that is vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, and I will dispatch your request ASAP. Thank you once again for listening. 7-3 from Roy, VK6X-ray Victor.
And that's the news for Sunday, March 8th, 2026. By the time you're listening to this, the Southern Electronics Group Mount Barker car boot sale will be over, and I hope that those that picked up their new-to-them treasures are enjoying their prize, or alternatively, the newly acquired space in the shack. John Moyle is on in 2 weeks, and I for one will be camped out at my usual spot on a hill west of Franklin River in grid OF85, trying to keep the cows away from my dipole and calling CQ. I hope to hear many of you calling back. Thank you to the contributors to provide the content each week. Thank you to the production team and those that put the news on air, and to you, the listeners. Please stand by now for callbacks, or if you're listening to this via podcast, please visit vk6.net and register your callback. This is Darren, VK6EK, for Amateur Radio News, VK6ARN 73.